Welcome to worship this morning. So glad that you're here to join in the life of Christ with us here in this place. Lots and lots going on, so please do, as tedious as it is to read announcements and bulletins, please do that so you know what's happening. I'll just give you the highlights here. Next week, during our Sunday service, we're going to do something we haven't done since I've been here, and that is have a confirmation. Ty Heitman will be confirmed on the 19th, so we'll hope you'll join us for that as part of our service on Sunday morning. And also, I believe we've been reading every week now for several weeks, and will for several more, about Jesus talking about bread, and it's about enough to make you hungry. And next week, you can eat, because I think you're invited to eat. There will be barbecue and more things, and cake, and macaroni and cheese, and baked beans immediately following the service next week as part of a celebration of Ty's confirmation. So we hope you'll join us for that. You're being invited to that lunch by his family, not by me. I'm just the mouthpiece today. They're going to send me the bill. Okay, great. Thank you. But please plan to be here for that, to celebrate with Ty and to eat. The next week, on August 26th, we're going to do a back-to-school blessing, so that's 2 weeks from today. For anybody involved in education, you can bring your backpacks, and we'll say some words of blessing, or if you're an educator, bring your, laptop, or, whatever you use, pencils, bring it, and we'll be happy to say some words of blessing. There's an invitation in the bulletin, too, if we feel so moved, we could bring some little treats and school supplies, the stuff in those backpacks. But before that happens, 2 weeks from today, the Saturday before, the day before, is the annual chicken barbecue. So, big event always in the life of our congregation. If you don't have tickets to that, and you need tickets to that, raise your hand if you got tickets on you right now to the chicken barbecue. Okay, so those folks can get you tickets right now, or there's plenty of folks who, like me, have tickets that they leave in their car or somewhere, and they'll find you tickets if you tell them you need some. We could also really appreciate volunteers to help both out at the pits on that Saturday morning and in the kitchen. So if you're willing to do that, speak to one of the men, and we would love to have you help us with that. I'll leave it there, other than to say, please read the bulletin and know that that we thank you for that. And I think we were going to hear from Frank. Was everybody able to hear Frank? He's going with Jack Frank, who we know, to a World War II museum in New Orleans, and they're going to be doing a mail call. So if we want to contribute to that mail, see Frank, and he's got a card you could even sign today. Thank you, Frank. I think I'm getting nods from the back to point out to you that the Lutheran Men in Mission countywide meeting that happens each year is going to be at First Lutheran, so it's an easy drive this year on the 27th of August. Don't come here and expect to be fed. Show up at First Lutheran. I know we got at least one prayer shawl this morning, right?
This prayer shawl is for Hector Crest. It is Barbara Kepley's neighbor's dad, father. He had a heart attack, so he needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Blake, Minnie, Sandra, Ashton, Andrew, Christopher, Tony, Chad, Abigail, and we wish happy anniversary to Johnny and Tammy Turner and to Carrie and Bobby Fritz. Anybody else we should put on that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The hymns on the board are not the same as the hymns in the
book. Oh.
I don't know which ones are there.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Latifah is on vacation, and probably I should have changed these and did not think to. So ignore these hymns on the board and use the ones printed in your bulletin. Does that work for everybody? Thank you for pointing that out, Debbie. We stand as our worship begins on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me for a children's message. Hey, everybody. Do you guys know what it means to imitate something? What does it mean to imitate something? To copy it? To act like it, right? To sort of do the things that that thing does. So, like, if I were going to imitate, like, a horse. Can you guys imitate a horse? Yeah, that'd be good. I'd maybe throw in some of these, like... Nay. Yeah, that's good, right? We do the things a horse does. What else could we imitate? What else could we imitate? At my house, we like to imitate... We like to imitate fire trucks at my house. What would it be like to imitate a fire truck? Woo! 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 Yeah, you have to be really careful where you imitate fire trucks because sometimes that can be a little much if you're inside, right? What's something else we could imitate? A dog. How would we imitate a dog? Yeah. Good. Okay, one more. Okay, good. Hold it right there. Mason's got one more thing we could imitate. A pig. How would we imitate a pig? You guys are good imitators. Rolling in the mud, he's really getting into it. Okay, beautiful. All right. All right, let's stop our imitating now, and everybody onto the steps, please. You guys did a great job. We're going to hear in our lesson today from Ephesians that we should be imitators of God. How would we imitate God, you think? Well, when we imitated a fire truck, we did the thing that a fire truck does, right? When we imitated a pig, we did the things that pigs do. So when we imitate God, you think maybe that means we should do the things God does?
What about
pigs? Calvin said maybe that means one way we could imitate God would be what, Calvin?
Praying.
Okay, praying maybe, but what else did you already say? You said help people, right? Yeah, that's one of the things that God does. God feeds people. God helps people. So that's something we could do to imitate God.
God feed people?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked.
Is it just like a visible person feeding some random
dude? Well, there's lots of ways that God feeds people. Have you ever helped feed people, you think?
What?
Have you ever fed anybody?
My mom has.
Your mom has? One of the ways that God can feed people is by working through us. So that if we give food to people who are hungry, or like through our church, we send food to people at Davis Townsend School who might not have enough to eat. That's one way that God is feeding people through us. There's food over there on that banner. That's exactly right. And that's because another way that God feeds us is we come to this table back here and we have communion, right? And God feeds us with God's body and blood. That's a candle. We'll talk about it after, okay? Mason, were you thinking of another way that we could imitate God? What's another way we could imitate God? Forgiving people is a wonderful way to imitate God. Has anybody ever made you upset? Has anybody ever made you, like, really mad? Yeah, they've made Mason mad. Nobody else. Okay. Has anyone ever made you mad?
Yes, my sister most of the time.
Okay, that sounds right. Yep, our brothers and sisters are easy people to make us mad. One of the ways that we can imitate God is that God forgives us. Did you know that? God forgives us, and we can imitate God by forgiving other people. So that's a wonderful way, Mason, that we can imitate God. I want to talk about another way. Is anybody going to start school soon, like maybe in a couple of weeks? Yeah, one of the ways that we can imitate God is when people, you guys listening? Conrad, you with me, buddy? One of the ways we can imitate God is that when people are not nice to us, we can still be kind to them. That's one of the ways we imitate God, because God loves us and cares for us no matter what, even if we're not good to God. So that's one of the ways I hope you guys will imitate God, is by being kind to people, especially when you start school. Can you guys do that? Be kind to people at school. That's one of the good ways. That is a wonderful thing, to always be really kind.
My friend Lily, she's really kind to me.
That would be a wonderful thing, then, to be kind like your friend Lily. Let's pray. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, help us to imitate you. To feed people. To be kind. To forgive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. We have children's church for folks going to children's church, or you can go back and sit with your parents. I believe we have children's church. Yes, I see Jane coming this way.
The first reading for today is from 1 Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 34. Verses 1 through 8, and will be said responsively by whole verse. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast to the Lord, but the humble hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
This is your soul pride, and is heard by the Lord, and is saved from every trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him."
The second reading is from Ephesians, 4th chapter. "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them work and labor honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. So in high school, and then again in college, I was involved in racing sports, not the motorized kind, cross-country, track, and then swimming, too, in the winter. And these kind of racing sports are sort of interesting because they're all about doing your best to use up every ounce of energy that you have in your body so that there is just enough to get you over the finish line and ideally no extra left in the tank, because you want to use that to get a faster time. When it works out, it's great, but sometimes you misjudge it and you run out of gas too soon. You tell your body to keep going, but somehow it won't listen and you wind up on the ground right there where you are, totally spent. You can go no farther. So having been part of that run until you can't run anymore world for a lot of years, you know, I thought I pretty well knew what it meant to be exhausted. But boy, when Marcus was born, I found out I still had a lot to learn about being tired and what it means. I'm going to move this because this is going to come crashing down if I don't. By the time Marcus was born, we'd already missed a full night's sleep. And then there was hardly any sleep that first night after we got into our room at 2 or 3 in the morning. So then, by the time we took him home, we'd gotten maybe 6 hours of sleep in the prior 72 hours, and we were for the first time taking home an infant to care for him. And that is a different kind of tired. And I learned more still about what tired can look like when Hannah was born this May. We had a newborn that we were bringing home, and all of a sudden at our house there were two under two, and tired takes on a new meaning when those two people are there all the time, and they don't want to sleep, and they don't want you to sleep, and they always need something. That's a different kind of tired, and a lot of you know what that's like. But if you don't know, or if you've forgotten these physical kinds of tired, these no-sleep kinds of exhaustion, I bet you know other forms of weariness, right? Maybe the weariness that comes from disappointment. The kind of exhaustion you feel when you've hoped for something, worked for something, prayed for something perhaps, only to have those hopes come crashing down. You've lived this, haven't you, in one way or another? For us, it was when our first pregnancy miscarried. And all the plans and the hopes and the dreams that we had been holding on to for months evaporated like that. Maybe for you it was the job that you poured years into, only to see it end in disappointment. Or the loved one whose disease did not get better despite the prayers. Or the optimism of youth that was slowly drowned in a relentless tide of bad news flickering out from the TV screen. If you've lived these times, if you've felt these places of despair, you know this tired. The tired that's born of shattered hopes. It's a bone tired, can't go any further, can't cry anymore, can't care anymore, sometimes even kind of exhausted. And this is where we find Elijah in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Let me bring you up to speed in case you don't know this story. Elijah is called to bring the word of God to King Ahab of Israel, that because of Ahab's unfaithfulness and the unfaithfulness of the people, God is going to take the rain away to cause a drought that lasts for 3 years. It's not a popular message Elijah is tasked with, and it was not well received. But God isn't just being mean here. Ahab and his foreign wife, Jezebel, have brought in priests and set up altars to Baal, a Canaanite god, who supposedly controlled the coming and going of the rains and the coming and going of the dry season. So God sets up this drought to get people's attention, to show people, to prove to them that Baal has nothing to do with this, that God and God alone is in control. But poor Elijah, the messenger, he tells King Ahab about all of this, about the drought that is to come, and then he has to get out of town to save his own skin. And for 3 whole years, he's forced to lay low, to watch as this prophecy is fulfilled, and no rain and no dew falls on the ground. 3 years, he suffers through this drought along with everybody else, and he also for 3 years has to be looking over his shoulder the whole time, lest Ahab's men, who are angry and tasked with finding him and killing him, should get hold of him. So finally, when this long, long 3 years are up, Elijah returns and sets up this big showdown to prove once and for all who is in control. Already, God has shown who's in charge of the rain, but this is a different kind of testing. Elijah is calling out Baal directly and the supporters of Baal. So they get 2 bulls and they slaughter them and they lay them side by side in the same place. One for the 450 prophets of Baal who have gathered there, and one for Elijah to offer to God. And the test that they come up with goes like this. Who will be able to call down fire from heaven when they call upon their God? Whose God will be able to bring a fire that will consume the bull? And the Baal crowd, they scream and moan and dance all day. They cut themselves and let blood, and not a thing happens. So then, with a showman's flair, Elijah has enormous jars filled with water, and they fill these jars over and over again, pouring them out over the bull, the ground, the altar, so that the entire thing is soaking wet. And then Elijah calls on the Lord, and a fire so fierce falls upon the altar that the bull, the soaking, dripping water that they'd poured, and even the very stones of the altar are all burnt up, and all that's left is dust. So when the people see this, they know now that Elijah was right all along, and with their help, Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal. Jezebel, though, is not amused. She promises on the spot to have Elijah killed within 24 hours. So here we find Elijah then, even though he has done everything the Lord asked, even though he's already been doing this for 3 years, Elijah is again forced to flee for his life out into the wilderness. He's mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually spent. The tank is empty. He finally collapses in the only little shady spot he can see, and he asks God to just end it all. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He closes his eyes, not able to take a second more. And what happens next is so cool. The messenger of God appears to Elijah at the height of his exhaustion, in the depths of his despair, and he doesn't berate Elijah, although he could have, right? "Who do you think you are, Elijah? I made the heavens and the earth. I created the world out of nothing. I brought you into this world, and I'll decide when it's time to take you out," right? No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't call out Elijah and tell him to stop his complaining, nor does he, with some words of platitudes, try to convince Elijah that it's all going to work out fine. He doesn't do that either. No, what the angel says to Elijah in the midst of his exhaustion and despair is, "Here, come eat something." Which sounds like a mama, doesn't it? Come eat something. And so Elijah eats. And you know what? It's still all too much for him. So he goes back to sleep. And eventually the angel wakes him a second time. "Here, have some more," is what the angel says. And on the strength of that food, Elijah carries on for 40 days. Now, 40 is an expression of time we hear a lot about in the Bible, right? It rained and poured for 40 daisies, right? From the Noah story, 40 years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. 40 days of fasting for Jesus. And basically the reason we hear about 40 so often is because 40 is biblical shorthand for as long as it takes. So, in the midst of this exhaustion and despair, when all Elijah wants to do is to lie down and die, God doesn't chastise him. God doesn't give him a pep talk. What God does is say, "Here, I brought you something to eat." Which, by the way, I think is maybe a good model for us, too, in caring for one another in difficult times. But the larger point for us in this Elijah story is this. When we are weary, when we are exhausted, when we are desperate, not even able to see how we could go on, we have a God who shows up and who feeds us. We gather at this table to receive the very body and blood of Jesus. God Himself, who knew what it was like to be overcome with physical, emotional, mental exhaustion, but the one who could not be bound by even the despair of death, Jesus enters into our world again at this table and feeds us, sets himself before us and says, "Here, eat. This will be enough to carry you for as long as it takes." Jesus, the bread of life, who in the resurrection gives us a hope and a sure and certain promise of eternal life, the one whom death cannot hold, Jesus, brings us with him through death into life forever. The hurt, the pain, the despair of this world, it may well linger with us, but it will not be permanent, not in the end. What lasts is this meal, this communion that we share, Jesus, the living bread. So when you are beaten down, when you have been battered by disappointment, when you are exhausted, come to the table of Jesus. Come and eat the bread of life. receive into your very body, digest it on a cellular level, Jesus, who will sustain you with his body and blood for 40 days, 40 years, as long as it takes. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, ending each petition, "Hear us, O God, your mercy is great." Lord God, we pray for your whole church. Sustain all who have tasted the bread of heaven and found solace in the promise of eternal life. Teach us to forgive one another in love and build each other up. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, save and protect your creation. Feed, nourish, and encourage all living creatures, and teach us to practice faithful stewardship. Bring relief to areas ravaged by fires and strength to those who work to control them. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, you rule the nations. Lead all peoples to speak truth and kindness to one another, walking in the paths of justice and peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, feed those who are despairing and exhausted with your bread of life, and send friends, counselors, medical professionals, and us, the body of Christ, to care for them. Tend to all who are sick or in any need. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Lib, Lydia, Greg, Harold, Billy, Gracie, David, Scott, Jeff, Chuck, Brad, David, Judy, Angel and Alexandria, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Kathy, Philip, Chuck, Tommy, Kathy, Joanne, the family of James, the family of Chip, Don, and all those we name now. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, we pray for those gathered here today. Feed us well so that the difficult journey of life may not be too much, and sustain us through times of trial. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, we pray for all students and educators, particularly those who move toward college this week. Pray that you would grant them safety amidst their excitement. Grant them perseverance, Lord, in the midst of new challenges. Give them joy in learning. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, we bless you for the lives of the faithful ones who have gone before us. Raise us all at the last day that we may exalt your name together. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and in trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. 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 creation belongs to our God.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word. You made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, and way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Before we say our mission statement, a reminder that we do have council meeting tomorrow night at the usual time in the usual place. And a thank you to all those who were involved in Vacation Bible School this week and to all the kids. Let's give them a show of our support. Our mission statement is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the risen Lord.